welcome to the first edition of the Niagara Young Workers Podcast. I'm your host, Trevor Kernighan, along with my co-hosts, Quentin Aska and Deepika Kumar. So I guess you're wondering why we have decided to launch our own podcast. Well, we believe there are several work-related issues and events that we feel need to be talked about. Whether it is chatting about precarious work or ways we can improve health and safety at work, we dive into the most interesting work-related issues going on presently. Today, for example, we will be discussing the recent provincial changes to labor law and an upcoming event we have that is hosted for young workers in the Niagara region. Now, I'm going to turn it over to Deepika, who has an invitation waiting for you.
All right, thanks, Trevor. I just wanted to take this opportunity to extend an invite to all the young workers out there to our first Niagara Young Workers Discussion and Social hosted by Unifor the Union. This event will be taking place on Wednesday, August 2nd at the Regency Athletic Resort and Spa in Niagara Falls. Doors will open at 6 p.m. and food will also be provided. Our goal is to connect young workers from all across the Niagara region in both unionized and non-unionized workplaces for a discussion on the biggest issues concerning young workers in our community today. Some of these issues include precarious work, wage concerns, and health and safety. This event is open and accessible to all individuals, so come on out and share your working life experiences with us and help stimulate the discussion.
Kathleen Wynne in the Liberal Party has enacted massive changes to provincial labor laws, which will have a significant impact on young workers. These are important changes that will affect young workers and their families. I think it is important to note that unions and labor organizations have been lobbying the government for these changes for a very long time. One of the changes that unions have been pushing for is raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Why is it so important to increase minimum wage?
Well, I think it's about time that we understand that $11.40 no longer meets the standard of living. Cost of living continues to increase day by day, and purchasing power still remains the same. And although this may not impact corporations directly, it does have long-term implications on Ontario's economy and its overall growth. That having been said, it's important that we recognize that families belonging to the lowest income bracket struggle just to afford their basic necessities. And living in a country like Canada, one of the richest countries in the world, no one should have to worry about choosing between food or shelter. It shouldn't just be about surviving. It shouldn't just be about having enough bread to survive, but we should also have enough roses for ourselves as well. You would even be surprised how many people are living below the poverty line. So I think this notion was well overdue. In addition to this, I think that it does reduce income inequality. More money for those at the bottom who spend it at businesses that mostly employ minimum wage workers keeps cash flowing within the lower and middle class. I think it's a great initiative towards bringing more fairness into the workplace. It is definitely a good start, and although everyone may not be happy with it, I believe it will bring a handful of advantages to all the members of the community. It's not just about one specific group of people. It's not about protecting the lazy workers or helping the young workers. I think it's a notion that will benefit Ontario as a whole.
So I agree with all your points, Deepika, and as much as I think this legislation is a step in the right direction, I don't think it's sufficient to meet the needs of workers in Niagara and really across Ontario. For example, to take this issue of minimum wage, the proposed changes by the Liberal government would increase the provincial minimum wage to $14 per hour by January 1st, 2018, and $15 per hour by January 1st, 2019. This change is definitely better than the status quo, and I also think it's important to acknowledge that this is a victory that has been won by activists and by workers. And it isn't a gift handed down to us by the Wynne government. But despite all this, what workers in our community really need is a living wage, not just a minimum one. According to research conducted by Living Wage Canada, it has been calculated that the hourly living wage in the Niagara region is $17.47. When taken into account the cost of food, shelter, clothing, transportation, childcare, medical insurance, education, and items for full participation in society. The $15 minimum wage is not enough for workers in our community, period.
Another change to labor legislation is for emergency leave days. Workers will be entitled to 10 emergency days off per year without providing a doctor's note, two of which are paid. How will this help workers?
Well, I think it will definitely be less stressful. When you're in the middle of an emergency, you shouldn't have to worry about providing your employer with a doctor's note. You have 1,000 other things going through your mind, and work should not be the primary focus. And I also think paid sick days allow people to actually be away from work so they can recover. Like, if you think about it, when a person is really sick and they're able to take actual days off, you can avoid spreading any germs in the workplace, and the person who's actually sick can avoid making any mistakes. You don't want to avoid your illness and not be able to step out for treatment before the illness gets even more worse. There's a higher chance of people being more productive in the workplace as well.
While the change is a step in the right direction, it is not enough to provide for workers with enough time off for their jobs, to take care of their family, their personal issues, and to recharge and rest from the stresses of everyday life. And in fact, data and studies support the idea that giving workers more paid time off would increase productivity and economic growth, and it would be good not just for the workers themselves, but for the economy as a whole. Take, for example, a country like Sweden. The labor law in that Nordic country dictates that all workers receive 25 workdays of annual leave, and common practice has employers paying their workers on public holidays as well. And with all of this, Sweden still has a higher per capita income than Canada, and ranks higher in terms of quality of life, health, equality, prosperity, and human development. Studies from the United States from Forbes magazine also show how if workers even took one more day of earned leave off each year, the result would be $72 billion in new output for the U.S. economy and positive impacts for both employees and businesses. We need the Ontario government to step up and guarantee more paid days off for workers.
The Ontario government is currently moving legislation forward that will make it easier for workers to sign union cards and become active union members protected under negotiated contracts. This could mean higher wages, healthcare coverage, better working conditions, safer working environments, and pensions for all Canadians.
So in the proposed labor reform, the Wynne government has given the Temporary Help Agency, the building services sector, and the home care and community services industry the right to card-based or card check union certification. So what is card check? Card check essentially simplifies the process for organizing a union in a workplace. Instead of a secret ballot or voting, if you get a majority of workers in a potential bargaining unit to sign cards in favor of a union, the union is automatically certified. So my question for the Premier and the Ontario Liberals is this. Why not give card check rights to all sectors and all workers in Ontario? A real-life example of the effects of card check can be found in the province of British Columbia, from 1978 to 1998. In 1984, the BC government got rid of the card check laws, and they implemented mandatory voting. And then in 1993, the government brought card check back into law. The results of these legal changes were a drop in the success rate of organizing new workplaces by 19%. A study by Cornell University found that mandatory elections can account for virtually the entire 19 percentage point decline in private sector certification success rates. It's clear, card check helps more workers to join unions where they enjoy the benefits of job security, higher wages, and benefits. We need card check for all workers in Ontario.
We discussed three important topics today that will affect young workers for decades to come. The card check, which will make it easier for young workers to join unions and reap the benefits of collective bargaining. Minimum wage, which will increase the earnings of hardworking young people in our community. And emergency days, which will allow young people to successfully balance their working lives and their personal ones. These are three issues that unions have been fighting to change for decades. And if you want to learn more about these issues, we really hope you can make it out to our event for young workers. Before we wrap up, I would just like to remind everyone that our youth social is August 2nd, 2017 at the Regency Athletic Resort on 8068 Mountain Road, Niagara Falls. Doors will be opening at 6 p.m. and we look forward to seeing everyone. Well, that's it for the first edition of the Niagara Young Workers Podcast. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. We look forward to future podcasts.